This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. For now, though, we shift our attention to what's happening in the UK with the Partygate scandal. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is in hot water over several parties that were held in Downing Street during the COVID lockdowns at a time when millions of Brits could not be with their loved ones.
Yeah, several gatherings have been reported from the spring of 2020 to April 2021. In fact, one of the parties under scrutiny was held by Bojo's staff on the eve of Prince Philip's funeral. Strangely enough. So currently all eyes are on the inquiry and probe led by senior civil servant Sue Gray. She's tasked, Sue, with establishing the nature of those gatherings and whether any disciplinary action will be needed.
So although Boris Johnson has apologised for these events, opposition politicians and even members of his own party are calling for his resignation. We even saw one Conservative MP, Christian Wakeford, defect to the Labour Party over this scandal. So can Boris Johnson survive the storm, or is his departure inevitable? For an understanding of the dynamics at play, we speak to Dr. Ben Wellings, Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at Monash University. Ben, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. What are the chances of Boris Johnson stepping down as Prime Minister in the very near future, given that there are reports of Conservative lawmakers submitting letters of no confidence?
Well, the chances are certainly higher than they were last week. I think that we're really waiting on this report. And the question is, like, what does the report say and how damning will it be? And what kind of language does it use? If it's too damaging, then I think that the pressure for him to step down or at least initiate a leadership contest will be too great for him to ignore. But if it sort of seemed to give him a rap over the knuckles and so on, I think he'll try and carry on. But there's certainly a lot of ill feeling towards his leadership and the insensitivities of his leadership within his own party and amongst his backbench MPs. And I think that's the thing that is pushing us towards a leadership contest in the near future.
Well, sometimes what is more instrumental is the court of public opinion, Ben. And right now, what is your sense of national sentiment on Boris Johnson's positioning?
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. And if we look at the opinion polls, he's doing very, very badly. I think the court of public opinion is understandably harsh on this. I mean, people have endured, two years of lockdowns and restrictions and so on. And there have been throughout those 2 years consistently members of the government flouting the rules that they have set. But it's never landed exactly on Boris Johnson's desk like this, as it has in these past weeks with these revelations about the kind of, he calls them gatherings, but they're commonly seen as parties, which is what they really are, at a moment when a lot of people were under severe duress. So the opinion polls are reflecting that his popularity has plummeted and that of the opposition leader, Sir Keir Starmer, has risen. And this both those things are important. When voters think they can imagine a new person in government. So that's what will be exercising backbench Conservative MPs to get rid of Johnson before the damage really sets in.
So you mentioned earlier that all eyes are going to be on this report by Sue Gray over what happened. And you said that it depends on whether her report is particularly damaging. What do you think is too damaging? What kind of findings would Boris Johnson not be able to recover from? And how would that reflect on the Conservative Party overall?
Okay, well, in the way he's painted himself into a corner here, because he gave an interview on Sky News two nights ago where he said, well, look, I just didn't realise they were parties. And if they were parties, no one told me that these were breaking the rules and so on. And this is a case of giving someone enough rope and eventually they hang themselves because now that he's done that, if the report comes out and says, well, actually, Prime Minister, you did know that this was a party and you did know that you weren't supposed to be having these gatherings, then he's lied to the country and he's lied to Parliament. And that then sort of triggers legal legal proceedings, but that would be enough for politically for him to really have to call a leadership election, or someone will do it for him, basically. So I think it's that kind of thing. If the report says that he knowingly, if the report implies that he knowingly misled Parliament and the British public, then he will be in deep, deep trouble.
And of course, Ben, whether the hammer falls on Boris Johnson will largely depend on a wider basis on how he's done in his tenure as Prime Minister. What's his report card look like?
Well, I think, look, that is both a source of strength and weakness for him, I think. He was elected to get Brexit done. You might remember back in late 2019, this election took place under, when that was the big issue, that was the slogan. And on one sense, you could sort of say, well, he's done that. Britain is no longer part of the EU. But Brexit is a much longer process than that. So really, it's only kind of half done. There are serious questions remaining over the status of Northern Ireland and its relationship to the UK and the EU. It's, of course, difficult to see any kind of economic benefit to Brexit, and that could be because of the pandemic, which followed so quickly on, this just sort of poor historical timing. But at the same time, the United Kingdom has to do better than it had in when it was a member of the European Union, and in material terms, all they've really got to show for it so far is a free trade agreement with Australia. All the other free trade agreements they've got, they already had when they were part of the EU. So in that sense, it's not great. And of course, then there's the pandemic. And there was a lot of sympathy as well for when Johnson himself was hospitalised with COVID. But that sympathy has evaporated, really, because he's got quite a chaotic style of government. And as the longer the restrictions have gone on and the pandemic has continued, and the less he seems to be in charge of the people around him, those kind of aides and ministers who were flouting the rules. And now that it's landed on him, I think there are very harsh judgments about his leadership, which was always tainted with a kind of a sense that he was really just in this for his own self-aggrandizement. So I think sympathy for him, which was high in the early part of the pandemic, has evaporated.
Yes, and so if the unthinkable happens, Ben, and the hammer does fall, some suggestions that Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, might be next in line. I mean, optics-wise, he's young. He's, you know, obviously of Indian origin. He's the nephew of the Indian billionaire Narayana Murthy. So in terms of just, you know, getting some optics right with the rest of the world and with a younger folk as well, what kind of traction do you think that particular development might have?
Yeah, I think Sunak is an interesting character for all the reasons that you've pointed out, and the field of prospective contenders contains a lot of people from South Asian backgrounds, but I think Sunak in particular was popular in terms of the so-called furlough scheme and the type of financial support, which is very unusual for a conservative, you know, right, centre-right politician to be offering this kind of support, but we might say it's unusual times. So I think he was popular there. At the same time, he's now going to be identified with retrenchment, if you like, kind of cuts to services. He's already flagged that taxes will have to rise as of next April, which is, of course, another unusual thing for a centre-right politician to openly admit to. So I think he's got some interesting profile, but of course, there is a field of candidates. He's probably the front runner, but there's no kind of clear winner. So we could end up in a situation where a kind of a compromise candidate ends up, you know, crossing the line before everyone else.
Ben, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Ben Welling, Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at Monash University, talking to us about the political dynamics in the UK at the moment, with Prime Minister Boris Johnson under intense scrutiny over COVID-19 breaking of the rules.
Yeah, you know, bumbling, lovable Boris, right? And a lot of people did have a lot of sympathy for him when he actually came quite close to the, you know, to the fluffy bottles.
Kind of forgot about that.
He
contracted it quite early on in the pandemic as well.
As did Trump, remember. But, you know, obviously times have changed since then and... you know, let's not forget, Rishi Sunak is a teetotaler, right? So, you know, sometimes the court of public opinion sometimes does sway to the extreme. So he's the front runner. And this is what The Guardian is postulating.
I'm not sure if the fact that he's a teetotaler has anything to do with it.
But, you know, the court of public opinion rests on sometimes very trivial, not trivial, but resonating factors. It's not really taxes necessarily. Sometimes it's not the fact that he does anything else in terms of the furlough scheme, but, you know, just the fact that people resonate with the kind of thing.
Well, that's one of the names that's being talked about if Boris Johnson were to step down, but we don't know yet. He isn't called the Teflon politician for nothing. You know, he could still have many lives within him, his political career yet.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.